Welcome on back to ESPN West Palm today. As always, I'm your host, Mike Rizzo. Joining me now, a very special guest, Dr. John Goodner. And listen, Dr. John, a lot of the times we talk to doctors, you know, they're sports fans. They dabbled with sports a little bit. I got a former St. Thomas Aquinas football player in the house, folks, a big Florida Gator fan. So we'll get into all the sports stuff here in a second. But Doc is a foot and ankle doctor, specifically, obviously, with those injuries. Where do the injuries come from? What are they doing? Kind of how are they changing the game when it comes to foot and ankle injuries? We'll be touching on all that. But Dr. John, how are you doing today? Great to have you in.
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Now, let's start with the injuries. What are some of the injuries you guys are seeing the most come across at your hospital, at your practice? What's been kind of that common thing you've been seeing with the foot and ankle game lately?
I mean, the seasons are starting back up now with all the schools. We're going to see a fair amount of ankle injuries that a lot of athletes will miss time. Some of them may linger a little longer than traditionally known, and that's when you got to start suspecting more high ankle sprains versus the low, and definitely we can get into that as well.
And the age range, it's everything. It's high schoolers, it's maybe, you know, some kids playing around in the neighborhood getting hurt, all the way up to old-timers playing pickleball. Am I right on this?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely hot now.
Pickleball, listen, have you played, partner?
I have.
So I like it. Gosh, I see why people get injured, though.
No, absolutely.
You know, knees, ankles, it's a lot of work.
It can get competitive real quick.
And then, partner, I feel like, you know, as two millennials in here, gosh, the boomers, you know, they still think they're 18 years old.
Yes.
You know, so talk about maybe some of the stuff, the high or low ankle sprains you've been seeing with pickleball.
Yeah, I mean, it's a transitional sport. I mean, if you're going to change direction there and plant and rotate, sometimes you can get tangled up with if you're playing doubles as well. Yeah, it's not the low impact sport it was cut out to be. It's definitely, I mean, it's even breaking into the pro field now. So, yeah.
So it's funny. One of my uncles, he actually is trying to get on one of the pro circuits. Now, I don't nearly know enough about the sport to, know what that entails. But certainly, when do you think, in being down here in South Florida, when did you see this surge really pick up? Is there a specific year you could pinpoint when pickleball really took off?
I mean, it's growing, snowball effect. It's just getting bigger, bigger, and faster. I mean, it's everyone's playing at all ages. It used to just be kind of a hobby sport. People get together for social outing. But now, I mean, there's even rumors it may start becoming a high school sport at some point, too, now. So,
yeah, because, you think tennis, it's similar to tennis in that aspect. But it's the popularity has been just taking the country by storm. You know, everywhere you look, you see pickleball joints start popping up. But Dr. John Goodner, foot and ankle specialist, is our guest here through the Palm Beach Health Network. Any other sport? Like, we got high school football underway now. Are there any, let's say, common injuries when it comes to football? Like, like me and you playing the sport before, I had high ankle sprains all the time. I got a flat foot. You know, is the high ankle sprain, you think, the most you see from a football side of things?
That's definitely the one that keeps players out the longest. Yeah, the low one's different in the sense that it's very braceable. You can tape it. You can often lock them in the cleat and kind of help them play through that at a shorter pace. But, yeah, the high ones are usually the ones that will linger beyond that six-week mark where you're usually back from a low ankle sprain.
And what is – say someone injures the ankle. What does – what's that timetable look like for getting back out on the field? Because you know these young kids nowadays. It's like, oh, I'm not injured. I feel great. Yeah. Well, what does the timetable look like for an injury like that on a football side?
If you're looking at a low sprain, I mean, there's different grades. It depends which of the ligaments are involved around there. But if it's a grade one, per se, we could be as little as 2 weeks. Grade two would involve multiple ligaments, so you're looking at least four for most cases. Mm-hmm. The braces have come a long way, so we can definitely kind of push the limit on that when I'm covering different teams and sidelines there. I definitely see bouncing back quick. And I mean, as you know, I mean, athletes, they heal a lot faster than the average individual. So that definitely plays a big role in addition to the physical therapy modalities we can throw at them. But the high sprain is what really lingers on. Coaches are frustrated, players, parents. Mm-hmm. Why is my kid not back out there at that 4 weeks? Like traditionally, so the lower, then we start suspecting that high sprain may be coming in, because that's the one that requires the athletic movement. Mm-hmm. If you got a cut, that's the one that's going to take the load, and that's when it gets frustrating not being able to do that, and that can linger on. And sometimes it may require a tightrope procedure to kind of get a better alignment and get them more competitive, maybe a faster return to play.
Dr. John Goodner is our guest here on ESPN West Palm today, foot and ankle specialist. Now, would you call it a rope procedure?
Tight rope.
So you want to elaborate on that first?
It's a suture button. It's been done for a long time. I think Tua's injury is probably the first that kind of made it really famous. But yeah, they definitely highlight a lot of those as far as that, getting them faster return to play for kind of, it's basically an augment to the ligament that was torn or sprained. Definitely propose that as an option for in season if you want to get them back faster or just to get better alignment if it's not healing.
Now, a common misconception is the difference between, at least for me, you know, playing basketball and football growing up, a break and a sprain. How can you tell a difference between a break and a sprain? Because I feel like a lot of the things might be similar when it comes to the injury.
Right. Yeah. I mean, silly answer from me, immediate x-ray. I mean, you'll see it right away. Yeah, it's we don't get an x-ray soon enough, in my opinion, for a lot of these. A lot of athletes think it's just a sprain. They tough it out. Like, I can kind of walk on it. But no, I mean, that's not always the case. You don't want to wait till it gets too bad. I mean, if you see significant swelling, tenderness to a certain point on the bone, or you're just unable to push off, I mean, that needs immediate attention from a specialist to get an x-ray for sure to start. Sometimes MRI can be indicated if you're suspecting maybe a cartilage injury, ligament tear, or a tendon injury that won't be seen on the x-ray, or if it's just an ankle sprain that's not healing at that typical 4 weeks. You definitely got to start thinking outside of the box and get advanced imaging.
Now, Dr. Goodner, we mentioned before when we had our little pre-show meeting, nanoscope. Mm-hmm. Now, the Palm Beach, you know, with your practice or the Palm Beach Health Network, you guys are kind of changing the game a little bit with this procedure called a nanoscope. Do you mind explaining that to our audience here?
Absolutely. It's basically, it's a needle-sized arthroscopy, basically leaving minimal to no scar. We can do these in an outpatient setting under very light twilight anesthesia. Maybe you're having that ankle sprain that's not healing appropriate. It could be scar tissue impingement in there or some underlying arthritis that needs to be cleaned out, which can be done under this small instrumentation. I'm seeing a remarkable comeback with people getting these and getting them back on the field, back on the court, doing what they love to do.
And that the recovery time is what is different, right? You don't got to really split the, and listen, this is a novice here, you don't got to split the skin open, get the ankle and all that. It's just straight up needle, and we're good to go after that.
Yep, highly minimally invasive.
Now, it's completely different situations, but, you know, my father, he had a heart attack. Thank goodness everything's okay. But, Doc, instead of splitting him open, they went through the groin area.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is similar to the technology and the stuff that is coming out within the Doctorverse. Just how, even in, you know, you're a young guy, Doc, mm-hmm. but, like, just the, I feel like technology change that has happened within the healthcare industry, it's been absolutely remarkable. Am I 100%. Right on this?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I was trained in the traditional open and minimally invasive arthroscopic techniques. So definitely seeing that evolve throughout my career has been a big benefit for patients as far as less pain after, faster kind of return to activity or return to play. It's amazing how small they're making this instrumentation in all fields of medicine. Like you said, cardiothoracic, orthopedics, you name it. It's just getting smaller and smaller and less invasive.
And folks, you can go to PalmBeachHealthNetwork.com. That's PalmBeachHealthNetwork.com. You can find Dr. Goodner on there. And obviously, if you're not dealing with foot and ankle, maybe dealing with something else, you could find a plethora of doctors on PalmBeachHealthNetwork.com. Now, I mentioned that Doc's a stud, man. He played at St. Thomas Aquinas, played football, played baseball. Let's start on the football side of things. Doc, how old were you when you started playing football? Was it fifth, sixth grade?
Starting seventh grade.
Okay. Yeah. So a little bit of a late bloomer, at least for me, growing up in Northeast Ohio. It's a late bloomer. Am I right on this?
Absolutely.
Now, you mentioned you played defensive end. And you guys were runners up in the state 3 years in a row. How is football kind of turned you into the person you are today? Because I feel like, at least from my perspective, football taught me to work with others, camaraderie. What has the sport of football done for you? Maybe it, you know, even in your professional life and your life in general.
No, 100%. Definitely owe a lot of gratitude to Coach Smith and what he's kind of instilled me as a player. I've definitely carried a lot of those lessons learned through that camaraderie and then being involved in such a unique program and just a kind of a dedication to being better and picking up your teammate and doing well, and not only on the field but off the field as well. But definitely a ton of gratitude to him, and definitely has shaped me to the physician I am today and how I kind of look differently at patients, and I have a different insight being I've kind of been the patient before. Yep. I can kind of know what the athlete's going through. I know how the sports play. I know the demand of the training. I know the recruiting process and all that stuff. So it's really given me a unique perspective that it's really helped me bond with patients.
Now, Doc, did you have a chance to play in college?
Obviously,
we went the doctor route, but I'm pretty, you know, playing at St. Thomas Aquinas. I'm sure you had some coaches knocking on the door.
Yeah, I had my fair share of the Ivy and Patriot League offers, but as you know, those aren't always the full scholarship. There's a lot of loan and grant involved in that, but that was just kind of my sign. Maybe it should take the full ride to University of Florida academically there and start working on becoming a surgeon.
Let's go to the Florida part now. What year did you graduate Florida, if you don't mind me asking?
I was the 2011.
Okay, so you were post-Urban Meyer, correct on this?
There when it was the
okay
Tim Tebow era.
Okay, yeah. Oh gosh, yeah. Geez. I'd mentioned I'm an Ohio guy. You're an Ohio guy too, but my mind immediately goes to when he came to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Gosh, talk about those days. I mean, Tim Tebow and, you know, all of those great players that it came through. You know, how fun were those football games and just how was the campus during that whole thing?
That's an insane environment. It's hard to describe. The whole campus just revolves around that game that day. It's amazing to see. Not a lot of college experiences kind of level up to that, but it was very cool. I mean, that was an amazing time for that program. It's really hard for the following coaches to live up to that. That is a very high benchmark and high standard. Yes,
right. We've seen absolutely. That post Urban leaving. It's kind of been a whole assortment of coaches.
Yeah.
Now let's stick on the current coach, John Summerall, friend of Russo and Rizzo from 4-6. Partner, we got done talking to Coach Summerall, and I was ready to run through a window for the guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he says all the right things. He's the bring the lunch pail, the work kind of guy, not going to cut any corners. Do you have a lot of faith in Coach Summerall to turn this thing around?
No, absolutely. I love the mentality. I love the energy. He definitely is the right guy for this role. I can't wait to see what he does this season.
Now, Cincinnati man, I mentioned, he's an Ohio man. His second favorite team is Ohio State. No, I'm kidding. But the Reds, the Bengals, are you pumped up for the Bengals this year? You know, being a Browns fan myself, God, is that a bad division? You know, for years we had two teams, you know, come out of that division, compete for Super Bowls, compete for playoffs. Yeah. Now it's kind of up in the air. You know, the Ravens got rid of the Harbaugh and the Ravens. That's not a thing anymore. They got a new coach there. The Browns are the worst team in the NFL. And the Steelers are running it back with Aaron Rodgers, but this time with Big Mike McCarthy. So as a Bengal fan, you got to think you could take this division this year, right?
One would hope. Definitely this would be the year. I don't know how much longer they can hold on to Joe Burrow. I mean, they got a
great... Well, he's under contract, so that's the good news.
They got a great supporting cast, but he wants to win.
Yeah.
He was a winner at LSU. I mean, he briefly had a stint at OSU, but definitely LSU. He's one of the greatest of all time in that season's there.
Now, injuries have been his thing, though. Like, I understand what you're saying. But injuries, I feel like, with Joe have been a thing. And partner, I wanted to say, too, I covered him in high school because WOUB, Athens, Ohio, we went to Athens High.
Yeah.
I like Joe Burrow a lot. You know, I'm kind of upset he plays for the Bengals, no disrespect. But in the end of the day, I think he needs to get on the field and prove it as well. I think the Bengals definitely haven't done a good job when it comes to front office, who they're paying and whatnot. You know, the front office is known not to be one of the better front offices in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, too, Joe's got to be able to be available. Would you agree with that as well?
No, absolutely. I mean, it comes down to protection as well. So I hope they're making the necessary changes. I mean, those injuries, they happen for a reason. So, I mean, you can be the best quarterback in the league, but if you can't have more than a couple seconds to get the ball off, I mean, tough luck.
Once again, Dr. John Goodner, through the Palm Beach Health Network foot and ankle specialist, is joining us here on ESPN West Palm today. Former St. Thomas Aquinas football and baseball player. Doc, is there a favorite football moment? Like, was it a sack? Was it a play? Do you have a favorite high school football moment where you really stepped up for the team?
I think it was one, our state championship my senior year. It was against Lakeland, that Pouncey twin dynasty
they were loaded,
had there.
Brother.
Unfortunately, it was the same time we were playing.
They were loaded, brother.
Yeah, we were down a good amount of points going into that fourth quarter, over 30. And somehow we rallied together, tied it.
Wow.
Went into double overtime, ended up losing on a goal line play. But that was probably my favorite memory.
Coach, Doc, down 40. I'm so used to talking to coaches. Yeah. Excuse me, Doc. Down 30, and being able to come back. That's
multiple onside kicks.
I know as an 18-year-old, it's the end of the world, but
surreal.
You live with that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go back and look that game up. Funny enough, I got to do, my partner Colin and I, we got to do an event with the Pouncey Brothers. Great guys.
Oh, yeah.
Did you connect with them at Florida when they were there?
Big fans of them, yeah. Okay. Didn't personally hang out with
for
them.
For sure. But, you know, it's just, if I saw them on campus, I'd be dropping that game. Like, when you almost blew that 30-point victory, you know? Like,
I still got that on my sleeve if I did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Doc, thanks so much for joining us once again. Welcome back on the program anytime. It was a lot of fun talking foot and ankle and talking a little ball with you. We appreciate it.
Love it. Thanks for having me.
That was Dr. John Goodner, a doctor through the Palm Beach Health Network, foot and ankle specialist and former superstar high school football player. We're coming right back on ESPN West Palm today.